Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 3, and 8 through 13, New International Version. The text says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what it was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city which with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." The word of our God. Not seeing, yet believing. I'm sure that most of us have heard the expression, seeing is believing. What we see, we accept as fact. And that makes sense, because usually our eyes don't betray us. So seeing provides firsthand information. Some people say, "Well, I want to see it myself." Seeing provides the evidence and the proof that we need. But today, we know that seeing is not always believing. Because with technology, like artificial intelligence, we are made to see things as they might be, but things are not always as they appear. I watched a video about a guy who had this fresh haircut. And it turns out that the guy is as bald as I am. And I watched how the guy, the barber, put glue on the man's head and then attached hair to that glue, and then cut the hair and trimmed it and edged it. And when he got through, you would think this was the man's hair. And I said, "Ricky, that's something you might need to look into." So if I come in here with hair one day, don't hate on me. The advent of social media platforms has shifted our thoughts about the phrase "seeing is believing." A lot of people have been duped by persons on dating websites, And some of you in here been fooled on these dating websites. You better get off of them. Persons have posted photos and pretended to be the person in the photo. And people later discover that the photo is a picture of somebody else. And even when photos are posted, they can be altered. People can Photoshop images and make them look better. They can remove scars and blemishes. They can add hair and muscles. They can make a fat person look thin. Something to look into. Seeing is not always believing. You can't always trust what you see. Someone might just fix something to make it appear one way, when in reality it's something completely different. Be careful. You might think you're with a woman, when in reality you're out with a man. Seeing is not always believing. And I mention that because sometimes people criticize Christians about the concept of faith. They suggest that having faith in something or someone without verification or without evidence is a waste of time. They criticize persons who believe in God, in a God they cannot see. But Christians know that faith is real. Christians know that the invisible God is worthy of our faith and our trust. And Christians have learned the meaning of not seeing, yet believing. And that's the crux of the message in our text. The text says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. And I think we need a fuller understanding of faith. Let's unpack our text. What is the nature of faith? What is faith really? Text says, now faith. What is meant by the word faith? It comes from the Greek word pistis, which means a firm conviction. Faith has to do with the ability to have a firm conviction about something or someone you cannot see. If you have evidence, if you can see it, it isn't faith. It's about a conviction about something you cannot see. And the writer calls this conviction confidence. He says it is a confidence. And I think the word confidence isn't strong enough. Because faith is more than confidence. It's really accepting as reality what we cannot see. Let me say that again. It's accepting as reality what we cannot see. And even the word assurance isn't strong enough, because faith is more than assurance. In fact, faith is proof. So when it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen, that word substance means it's the reality of things hoped for. And the word assurance really means it is the proof of things not seen. So faith is the sufficient proof that we need. Faith is our substance. And faith is our proof. Now that's sort of difficult to grasp. Faith, the New English Bible says, gives substance to our hopes and convinces us of realities that we do not see. People ask for proof. People ask for verification. But for believers, faith is the proof. Faith is the reality. Faith is the proof. Faith is the reality. That's the nature of faith. And so when folk ask, well, how can you believe without evidence, without seeing? The answer is we do have evidence. And our evidence is our faith. Now, It's not empty confidence. It's not an empty feeling, but it has to do with our understanding of the nature of God. And that's why in verse 3 the Bible says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So it is confidence, this faith that is reality, this faith that is proof, is really tied to the essence of God. It's tied to our theology of creation. That informs our view of faith. In other words, the universe was formed by God. Ex nihilo, that Latin phrase, ex nihilo, out of nothing. The universe was formed by God. The invisible became visible by the command of God. And it is upon that basis itself that the only proof necessary is who God is for what we do not see. Let me see if I can make it plainer, nor clearer, I should say. So if God can create everything from nothing, nothing that is visible, then the fact that God can do that is the only thing believers need to trust what God says. That's why faith becomes reality. That's why faith becomes proof. There's no other proof other than God. It's not an empty proof. The January 6th hearings brought a lot of information about the infamous insurrection at the Capitol. Witnesses provided testimony, emails, texts, phone records, phone calls, and other evidence were presented. What we saw and what we heard provided overwhelming evidence of what many already thought. Not everyone. CPAC communion, they don't think it. The president was complicit in the events of that day and did nothing to prevent the events from taking place. But these hearings were designed to provide proof, but for many, that's not proof for them. Just like proceedings in a court of law. I get that. That's what that was about. But our system requires the presentation of incontrovertible evidence. Evidence that you cannot diminish, that you cannot counter. That's on a human level. But faith is not built upon human systems. Faith is rooted in the evidence, in the essence of God. Believers do have proof, and the point is that proof is our faith. So when a person says, all I've got is faith, that is not an empty statement. That's a powerful statement, because all you need is faith. If you've got faith in God, that's all you need. In fact, we've discovered that we might not have all the other stuff we think we might need, and all we have is God, and that becomes sufficient. So the nature of faith is that faith is its own proof. Faith sees what we cannot see as reality. Unless, when you have that faith, it's not something that you put in a box, tie a ribbon on it, and carry it around, set it on the back seat of the car. When you have faith, like the writer describes, you have to work it. You have to put that faith into action. And so, what does faith do? The writer goes on to talk about what faith does, the works of faith. He says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing as age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. The Bible has many persons in this 11th chapter, but it presents these two exemplars of faith, Abraham and Sarah. And when we look at Abraham and look at what his faith brought out in him, a couple of things come out about the works of faith. The first thing we notice about Abraham is obedience. So that when God comes to Abraham and tells him to set out for a place without naming the destination or providing an itinerary, Abraham obeys. He gets up and goes. He does what God's command. He has no frame of reference as it relates to God. He has had no prior conversation or experience with God. He has no proof other than the promise of God. And Abraham believes God. One of the primary works of faith is obedience. And if you want God to work in your life, if you want to see God come through in your life, you have to be in sync with the will of God, and you have to do what God wants you to do. Obedience is one of the works of faith. And then the next thing we see is Abraham's confidence in God's worthiness. Because Abraham not only obeys, but he trusts the promise of God. In Genesis 15 and 6, the Bible says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So somehow the reason Abraham gets up is not because he is crazy or not because he's just gullible. It's because somehow he believes what God says. He trusts that God is worthy of his word. He trusts God's word enough that he goes out on that word. And even that's also what Sarah does. The text says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. Now, both Abraham and Sarah are senior citizens. And it would not be unusual for both of them to distrust God's promise to bear children. It would make perfect sense for both of them to seek proof and verification. It make perfect sense for them to say, what are you talking about? Well, having a baby as old as Sarah is, as old as I am. What are you talking about? Oh, please. Makes perfect sense. But they choose faith as proof. And when somebody says, well, how do you know? They say, the only way we know is we choose faith as proof and we trust in the worthiness of God. The works of faith require obedience and confidence in the worthiness of God. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if you got faith and no works to back up that faith isn't doing anything for you. You've got to take your faith and put it into action. You've got to take it off the shelf. You've got to take it out of your pocketbook, put it into action and work the work of faith in your life. There's a beautiful example of that in 2 Kings chapter 4. You remember the story. The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? She says, your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, well, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. Now, she could have said, well, I've only got one jar of oil in my house. What are you talking about pouring oil into some additional jar? But she doesn't do that. When she brought the jars to her, and she kept on pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. The oil didn't stop flowing until she didn't have a container to pour the oil into. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can live on what is left. That's what God is saying when he says, put your faith into works. If you want God to do it, get you some jars. And when you cannot see the answer, do it anyway, because your faith is based upon your works impact your faith. I tell you, if you got the faith and you work that faith, God has the power to make it happen, beloved. If you trust God, he has the way to make it happen. One more thing and I'm done. Nature of faith, the works of faith, and then finally, the expectation of faith. But faith hopes for the future. So the text also speaks to the expectation of faith. The writer uses the word hope. He says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. An assurance about what we do not see. He says, this is why the ancients were commended for. It goes on to say about these ancients in verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Hope is important. I think we heard some of that message in music today. Hope gives us something to look for. Hope fuels our expectations. And so faith gives us that spirit of hope and that spirit of expectation. When we believe God, we expect God to come through. And that's why God commends the ancients for operating with a spirit of expectation. Because some of Abraham's descendants do not live to see everything come to fruition, but they die with that spirit of hope and expectation. They only see the promises of God from a distance, but that's an important component of faith. Faith is expecting. Faith is expecting from God. Even though you might not be around for the fulfillment of what you expect. Didn't know my paper. But parents and grandparents know about this. You've got to pray for your family. You've got to pray for your children. You've got to pray for your grandchildren. Even though you may not live to see those prayers come through fruition. The reason why some of us are where we are right now is that somebody ahead of us, somebody in the background, sent some prayers up to glory and prayed for subsequent generations. Faith is expectation. It is expecting God's answer. It's looking for God's provisions. It's looking for God's power. So when you have expectation, that's what I call active faith. Active faith means that we don't move around as if we're not expecting something. You know, this is on my paper, you just dropped my spirit. When, you know, you got company coming over, right? And your house might not be the way you want it to be when they get there. You move around like you got company coming over. You start cleaning, you start vacuuming, you start shining, you do stuff because you're expecting somebody to show up at your house. That's the way we ought to act when we have active faith. We ought to move about as if we're looking for the blessings of God to come our way. It means that we confidently await God's blessings in our lives. We have hope for the future that God has outlined for us. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. We too look for a city because we know this world is not our final destination. But while we wait for the consummation of God's promises, we have hope. The future is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. There's a species of plants known as the fire lily. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with the fire lily. And many are so named because of their bright colors when the lily is in bloom. But there is one fire lily that is not named because of its color. It's named because it only sprouts from the ground after a fire. This fire lily lays dormant underground, but after a forest fire and the awakening by the smoke, it sprouts and blooms. The forest fire burns everything to the ground. Nothing is left but charred earth. But the smoke from the fire awakens this fire lily, and it grows and sprouts into a beautiful flower. Isn't that something? I tell you, God can do anything. He can raise up a plant in a forest fire. And when the land recovers and the vegetation returns to the land, the fire lily returns underground and rests as a bulb until the next fire awakens it. And sometimes there are 15 to 20 years between fires, but the bulb waits underground until the next one arrives. That's what expectation of faith is like. It might not have what it hopes for, but it knows it's on the way. It might appear dormant, but life is still there. We might not have what we want right now, but we trust and wait on God. And one day an awakening will come, and God will show up and pour out every blessing that we're looking for. Oh. Don't let folk talk about you because of where you are right now. Tell them you're a child of God. And say, don't look at where I am right now. God's got me in God's hands. And one day, when you look at me, you'll see the blessings of God come through my life. The nature of faith. As I conclude, I'm done. I said that a minute ago, didn't I? Faith is its own proof for the things we do not see. Faith is accepting as reality what God promised. Faith is saying, yes, it is so. Faith is rooted in who God is. God, faith has works. We take our faith and apply it in our lives. One of the works is obedience. If God says go, then you ought to go. If God says yes, then act on it. We must obey God. And another work of faith is confidence in the worthiness of God. Faith is expectation, expecting what we hope for. It's active waiting and trusting, not seeing, yet believing. Sometimes we don't see, but we trust anyway. Life gets that way sometimes, doesn't it? You remember Jesus. Disciples were on the boat. They spent all night fishing. Jesus got onto the boat and said, launch out into the deep. And Simon said to him, Lord, we toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down. And when he obeyed Jesus, they brought in a great catch of fish. Life gets that way sometimes. Sometimes we work all night and have nothing to show for it. Sometimes we do our best on our job, and we never get the promotion. Sometimes we pray and pray, and no answer or solution seems to come. But we've got to keep on believing, even when we don't see the results. Faith will keep you going, beloved. Don't be caught in a trap of doubt. And don't hang out with the folk who are in the doubt club. Who tell you you can't make it, who tell you you won't be anything, who tell you you won't get through it. Don't hang out with those folk. Don't be caught in the trap of doubt, but trust God to do what God says God will do. Faith does more than doubt does. What Max Lucado wrote about fear can also be said about doubt. Let me paraphrase Max Lucado. You see, doubt never wrote a symphony or a poem. Doubt never negotiated a peace treaty or cured a disease. Doubt never pulled a family out of poverty or a country out of bigotry. Doubt never saved a marriage or a business. Courage did that. Faith did that. Doubt never started a business from scratch and worked until you got it going 15 years later. Doubt never worked to put children through college. Doubt never sat up all night long with a sick baby, nursed that baby back to health. Faith did that. Faith puts food on the table. Faith gets you through a bad diagnosis. Faith will comfort you when you're grieving. Faith will help you keep on studying and graduate from college. Faith will show up to work, even when it's a toxic environment. Faith will hang on when the going gets tough. The gospel chorus at my home church used to sing this song. It wasn't profound, but it was biblically sound. The gospel chorus said, I know God cares for me. By my side, he will ever be. I know he cares for me. And then they would say, I may be up and I may be down. I may be level to the ground, but that's all right. To him I go. I know God cares for me. They would say, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know if the angels will sing. I don't know if bells gonna ring, but I know God cares for me. He cares for me. And if I trust him, he'll guide me every step of the way. And if I hold to his hand, he'll walk with me every step of the way. Faith, not seeing, yet believing. The invitation to discipleship is extended, beloved. Will you stand with me as our deacons, ministers, greeters come? And those of you who are viewing us online, you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org. But I want you to know some of the people you see in this sanctuary today are witnesses that faith will do it. That you can believe even though you don't see. That we've seen some things happen in our lives that we never saw God doing. We never thought possible. He's healed us. He's blessed us. He's protected us. He's comforted us. He's done some stuff we didn't think would happen. We know it. We know it. We offer that Jesus to you. To those of you in the sanctuary, we offer Christ. You can come join faith.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister.
God bless you. God bless you.